Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A quiz of ice and fire. Hello there, listeners. Thanks for tuning in today for another quiz of ice and fire. I'm Lady Guinevere, and today I'm bringing you our 21st quiz. This one is all about the Crescent Prologue from A Clash of Kings. And since that was the focus of our most recent episode, we hope you're well prepared. As always, we want to thank our generous patrons for their continued support, which has unlocked this bonus feature of quizzes for everyone. And speaking of bonus features, if you'd like to support us by being a patron, check out our campaign at patreon.com/radiowesteros, where, among other things, you'll see that patrons gain access to our patron-exclusive episodes, currently one all about the Arthurian influences in A Song of Ice and Fire, a mini-episode all about world-building in A Song of Ice and Fire, and if you've been enjoying our prologue series, don't forget that patrons have access to our episode on the Varamyr prologue. And now it's time for me to introduce our guest host for today. Very happy to welcome to the quiz program, Ashaya from History of Westeros. Welcome, Ashaya.
Hey there. It's so nice to be on. I was very flattered when you asked me to be on here, but it's also very relevant to what we're covering over at History of Westeros right now, because we're doing Valar Reredis, and we're on A Clash of Kings, roughly just past the halfway mark. So we've already covered this prologue, so if you're interested in some analysis of it, head over there.
Yes, absolutely. I've been enjoying following along a lot of the discussion in your Facebook group. And of course, you have your weekly live streams. So, very good. If you're currently, working on your rereads, a lot of us do seem to be doing that, almost like we're expecting something to come. we never know by the time we all finish A Dance with Dragons. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's how Aziz scheduled our schedule, I suppose, that he wants us to be finishing A Dance with Dragons roughly when George said the Winds would be done, which is August 2020, when Worldcon is. I assume that's done and not out, so we'll still have a little break.
Yeah, right. But yeah, we're all kind of banking on that sort of promise coming true. So sometime next year.
Yeah, we're going to listen to this in 2-3 years and be like, oh, what sweet summer children we were. I go back and listen to episodes from 3 years ago where I was like, yeah, maybe next year we'll get it.
Oh, yeah. Always, constantly. People have been asking us for literally years when we were going to cover Tyrion, for instance. And we said, well, when Winds comes out and years keep going by and we're like, well, I guess we just haven't covered Tyrion because eventually we will get there. But anyways, hopefully we're all very optimistic. So now is the time for you all to get ready. However you keep track of your answers, be prepared. We have 15 questions all about the Crescent Prologue from A Clash of Kings. And as always, we let the guest go first. So over to you with question one, Ashaya.
Dragonstone is a castle which is found on an island of the same name. Our first question is, What is the name of the local volcano there?
Okay. Volcano on Dragonstone. So tell us what it is. Question two. The Citadel is where Maester Crescent studied, and he reveals that the Citadel has now sent another younger maester to help him in his labors at Dragonstone. What is the name of this new maester?
And is he younger and sexier?
Yes.
Early in the Crescent prologue, the maester is visited by Shireen. What exactly was it that Shireen wanted to see that caused the visit?
Okay, so something was going on there early on in his prologue.
Yeah, what did Shireen want to see?
Okay. Question four. Patchface is introduced as a twitching piebald mess of a fool. Well, that pretty much sums him up. Crescent thinks that perhaps he once might have caused gales of laughter, but now there's only one person who thinks he's funny. Who is that one person?
Me.
Obviously, Crescent had never met us.
There's a serving girl on Dragonstone named Dalla, and she has apparently heard the Red Woman lecturing Celice about the red comet in the sky. So what does Melisandre tell Queen Celice the comet is?
Okay, Melisandre has a name for the comet, and we hear Shireen repeating it to Maester Crescent. So, on to question six. Patchface again. He likes to sing in rhymes and riddles, and many people like to theorize about hidden meanings behind the things he says, but there's one line in particular that Patchface keeps repeating. It goes, "The somethings come to dance, my lord. The somethings come to stay, my lord." What are the somethings?
In this prologue, we learn that Stannis has been preventing every ship that passes Dragonstone from leaving. Things are building up on the naval front. We also learn about Stannis' flagship. For half a point, tell us the ship's name, and for another half, how many decks it has.
Oh, I'm sorry for laughing, but good luck.
Yeah, it's how many decks? That's very difficult.
This is very specific, but it does say, it does specify in this chapter. So how much detail are you capable of absorbing? That's what it comes down to. Question eight is about the Onion Knight, Davos Seaworth, who's introduced to us in this chapter. We soon learn that he is trying to get lords to join Stannis' cause. Davos tells Crescent that he broke bread with Julian Swan and old Lord Penrose, but he says which house consented to a midnight meeting in a grove?
Which character found on Dragonstone is described thus, with prominent ears, a sharp nose, and the faintest hint of a mustache on their upper lip?
Oh, gosh. Well,
sounds like a very attractive person, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, could be a adolescent young man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see. Question 10, back to Davos. He has a brilliant backstory that illuminates his allegiance to Stannis. He was a smuggler who was raised up after heroics at the Siege of Storm's End, but then he had to lose some fingers to Stannis in payment for all his smuggling. However, when Stannis made him a knight, he did offer him a modest keep. But whereabouts within the Stormlands was this keep?
Which character inhabiting Dragonstone is described as having eyes like open wounds? Ugh.
One thing we get a lot of in this chapter is descriptions of characters, because he's introducing so many major characters in this chapter. So we get great descriptions of quite a few people. And one of them has eyes like open wounds, which sounds very grim.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was question 11. Question 12 is, the Strangler is a poison known to the alchemists of Lys, the Faceless Men, and of course the Maesters of the Citadel. In the making of this poison, a rare plant is used for its leaves. This plant comes from islands in which sea?
That one's hard too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, challenging. Surprising how challenging you can get when you have to stick all to one chapter.
And I just read this too, just a couple months ago. So yeah. The next question is, Melisandre is a seductress from far shores and offers a contrast to the gloom of Dragonstone. Amidst a lengthy description, we are told of her unusual look. We want to know, what shape is her face? That's a very interesting question there, and an interesting detail.
It is an interesting detail. I mean, basically the rest of her description is red, red, and red.
And it's so memorable, too, right. I think, that yeah. it gets lost, the shape of her face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty unique. So can you remember what it was? So question 14. When Maester Cressen finds himself safe in his own rooms, he stands between his gargoyles and looks out to sea. Here Cressen sees warships belonging to whom sweeping past the castle?
Question 15. During the fateful meal where Cressen meets his end, he looks over at the knights who have thrown in for Stannis. One man is described as remaining homely in russet and fox fur. This man was Castellan of Dragonstone while Stannis sat on the small council. So our final question is, who is wearing the fox fur in that scene?
Well, I think it's an appropriate choice for him, and that's as much of a hint as I will give.
Man, I can't believe I never actually noticed that. You're right, it's very appropriate. Very appropriate,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, see? So, big hint if you're into sigils, so... That was our 15th question. So we are going to take a brief break and we'll be back with the answers right after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we are back. We're back with your answers to our questions all about the Cressen prologue. So over to you, Shea.
Our first question was asking about the name of the local volcano on Dragonstone. And the answer is Dragonmont. Yes, Dragonmont.
Literally Dragon Mountain.
Yeah, so. It's not that creative. But I mean, we also have Dragonstone, which is also, yes. Yeah.
Targaryens or the Valyrians, I guess, were not.
Dragonglass.
Yeah. They weren't that interested in branching out. Oh, so that was Dragonmont. Hopefully you got that. I feel like that was one of our easier questions. And this next one might have been fairly easy as well. Question two, we wanted to know who was the new maester that had been sent by the Citadel to help Cressen in his labors. And it was Maester Pylos. They tells him that he Crescent realizes that Pylos was sent to help him in his labors, but actually, in all reality, he had been sent to replace him when he died.
Well, you know, he gets to help train him.
It's nice to meet your replacement, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Question number three was asking what Shireen wanted to see that she brought up to Maester Crescent. The answer is the White Raven. Yes. Pylos told her that she might be able to see the White Raven, and Crescent tells her that she might. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Crescent would. Kind of like her grandfather. He won't deny her much of anything. Of course, the White Raven's significance to the story is the change of seasons. So this is how Clash of Kings opens, with confirmation that autumn has arrived. So, yeah. How many of you remembered that was what brought Shireen calling to Maester Crescent? Question four is all about Patchface. Who's the one person that Patchface is able to make laugh?
In the books.
In the books. Not amongst ourselves or anywhere else. Yeah, no. In the books, Crescent thinks the only person that finds Patchface particularly funny is Shireen.
Question five, we asked what Melisandre tells Queen Selyse the comet is called, and she calls it Dragon's Breath. Hey, do you think the Valyrians named this too?
They probably did. They really, I don't know if you've noticed this, but they seem to have a bit of a one-track mind. It's just all about dragons.
Of course, Shireen says she wonders if dragons are breathing. Doesn't that mean they're coming to life? Well, yes, they came to life.
Yes, it's so creepy. Poor Shireen. Just imagine what a weird, creepy place to live.
Yeah, and right? Then she moved somewhere, I guess, creepier. Yeah.
Even worse. I know. Poor kid. Oh, boy. Okay, so question six, we were back to Patchface. Speaking of creepy, there was that one line that Patchface kept repeating, the somethings come to dance, my lord, the somethings come to stay, and the somethings were shadows. So he keeps saying that over and over again.
Do you think Melisandre's shadow babies dance ever?
Maybe. Maybe they'll, maybe one day we'll get a group of them together. Have a rave or something. I do want to say that Shireen does not find this particular thing very amusing. She might think Patches is funny, but she really does not like this line. She gets a bit upset when he keeps saying it. So, yeah.
Our next question has us wondering what Stannis' flagship's name is, and additionally, how many decks it has. That's for half a point and then half a point. Well, Stannis' flagship is named Fury, and it has three decks. As the quote says, Lord Stannis' Fury, a triple-decked war galley of 300 oars. So, three decks, 300 oars. Usually, I feel like in A Song of Ice and Fire, if you don't know the number, three is a pretty good guess, yeah. To be honest.
Try three. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it definitely wasn't going to be,
10.
Like 10 or 20. I mean, it was going to be a smallish number. So three. How many of you got it? And how many of you actually knew it or just guessed? So.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting kind of way to divide it as well. Not that you don't get credit if you guessed, because good for you.
Do you all get a lot of people responding with their numbers, with their trivia numbers?
We do.
Yes.
Yes.
You need to record them all and have a leaderboard, I think.
Yeah, we could start doing that over a long period of time. Have people keeping.
Of course, it's an honor system, but it's not like it's serious. Right. It's just for fun.
Yeah. It seems like every, the people pretty much average, you know, and then we get every one. There's a handful that get all or all but one. And then there's always the few people who will admit that they did really badly, but you know,
good on them.
Good for them for being honest. So. I feel like we try to be kind of middle of the road with some of the questions, and Fury in three decks was pretty hard though.
So. Yes. Oftentimes when I listen to the trivia episodes, I'm in the car with Aziz and he says out loud the answer before I've even like parsed what the question was asking. So it takes me a second to like figure that out.
Right.
And then he's just blurting out. He's like, Fury, it's got three decks. Oh.
You're like, listen, you just stop now. Okay. All right. Question eight was all about Davis Seaworth and his secret mission to try and find people to join Stannis's cause. There was one house that he said had consented to a midnight meeting in a grove, and we wanted to know which house that was. It was House Tarth.
House Tarth coming through again, partway.
Partway, but of course, you know. Yeah. I think my headcanon of this is like Lord Selwyn is just kind of so polite and he's fairly old, I think, in my head, I think. He must remember, you know, like Stannis and Renly's parents. That's, I think he was just being polite, is what I'm trying to say. So,
okay.
Because obviously, within very short order, Brienne had gone off to serve Renly, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So, they kind of threw in with Renly in the end, but it was a little nice of them to... At least.
Although it's not that clear to me how much Selwyn was, you know, supportive of her leaving.
Well, he did say, like, when she... Because
how much approval does he give her in that departure?
It's a good question, because he also may not have given her much, like, support. Like, he might not have sent a whole force of, you know, fighters from Tarth. But I know when she... Because I just read this chapter today. When she wins the melee at Bitterbridge... Renly says to her, you're everything your father said you would be. So he at least found a moment to brag about her.
Yeah, either bragged about her, gave him a heads up that she was coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's situations where they would have been at the same events, and so he could have easily brought her up that time.
Yeah.
But that does make it seem like, for sure, Selwyn is, you know, appreciates her skill. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess mildly supportive. We don't have direct evidence that he's 100% on board.
Yeah. We never hear or think about, like, at least I had my father who was so supportive, though. nor do we hear her talk about her father being mean to her.
I feel like he's just kind of resigned.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
After her third betrothal, I think he was just resigned. Okay.
All right. Our next question here, question nine, asks, who has this description? Prominent ears, a sharp nose, and the faintest hint of a mustache on their upper lip. You'll note that we said their upper lip. It's Selyse, Queen Selyse. Yes, she plucks it daily and curses it regularly, but it never fails to return. Yes, I can relate. You have to wax and do stuff to your mustache.
It's like poor Selyse, who lived in an era where there was no waxing. I mean,
yeah.
What do you do?
You pluck it. Which is terrible.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yep, poor thing. But her, you know, we probably could have gotten around all of that. But she's really not that pleasant, because the rest of her description is, you know, her mouth is stern and her voice a whip. I mean, she's really kind of...
I'd be mean and angry, too, if I had to tweeze my mustache.
Every day.
Every day, yeah.
fair point. Okay, so we're having empathy for Celise. So, all right. Question 10 was back to our good friend Davo Seaworth. We wanted to know, when Sanis made him a knight, he gave him a keep whereabouts in the Stormlands. And that keep is on Cape Wrath. Choice lands on Cape Wrath, actually, it's called, which I wonder what that really means. A small keep and a knight's honors is what he was rewarded with. So,
would you take choice lands, a small keep, and a knight's honors if you lost a joint of each finger on your left hand? Ignoring that you have smuggling and that you might get punished otherwise.
Yeah,
you would take it. Yeah, I would in Westeros for sure.
Probably
in modern day, I guess. Yeah, as well, but it's not as cut and dry for me. It's no. A weird feeling, the idea of having missing part of your fingers. I don't know.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, like, this bothers me because they say, you know, Stannis removed all those joints with a cleaver. But if you line up your four fingers, you couldn't just chop off the ends of all four fingers in one swipe.
Multiple swipes, or some of them have more of a nubbin above the joint than others.
Exactly. I don't know what I make of all this. Like, Stannis just kind of like chopping away at Davos's hand. These are the things we worry about at night.
Another dark thought here. Question 11. What character is described as having eyes like open wounds? It's Stannis, open wounds. The exact description says, Stannis kept his own whiskers cropped tight and short. They lay like a blue-black shadow across his square jaw and the bony hollows of his cheeks. His eyes were open wounds beneath his heavy brows, a blue as dark as the sea by night. And of course it goes on, but that is a beautiful description of a very severe-sounding man. I also like the mention of blue-black shadow across his square jaw, considering how much shadows come into play in his storyline, actually.
Yes, the words used here are very evocative. It's a really wonderful description. Actually, I mean, I said this, I think, when we were doing the questions. All the descriptions in this chapter are really wonderful. They stand out to me. We get great descriptions of Shireen and Celise and Stannis and Davos and Melisandre, which we'll get to that one in a minute. But before that, we will wonder about the Strangler, which is this poison that is known to all of the alchemists and the Faceless Men and the Maesters. It's made with a very rare plant, or the leaves of a very rare plant, which comes from islands in which sea? And the answer is the Jade Sea. Jade Sea, which sounds very beautiful and exotic, half a world away, which actually, you know, if you look on the map, it looks like it's all the world away. So there's this implication that there is another half of the world if you go past the Jade Sea. Interesting.
Our next question asks, what shape is Melisandre's face? It's a heart-shaped face. And I think this is very interesting because obviously we have the flaming heart.
We are now up to question 14, which is all about Cressen standing on the balcony in between his pals, the gargoyles. He seems to think of them as friends, you know. He kind of talks to them and wonders if they're going to answer back and stuff like that. But in this moment, he's looking down and he sees a bunch of warships sailing past the castle. And we wanted to know, who did they belong to? And the answer is Salador Sun, another person who's, I think he's first introduced to us in this chapter, so like most of this other gang. So yeah.
And our final question was asking about a man who was wearing russet and fox fur. He was the Castellan of Dragonstone while Stannis was on the Small Council. The fox fur that he's wearing is particularly notable, and it's Axel Florent. Very notable because the Florents obviously have the fox as their sigil. So I've never noticed that. That is a great little bit of trivia.
It is, and it's a good way for us to give you a little hint or push in the right direction if you were struggling to remember who was wearing fox fur on Dragonstone, Axel Florent. So, and even actually, just speaking of descriptions, even just in that scene, you get some pretty, you know, the description of Axel Florent and his clothes and Lord Bar Emmon, who is a plump boy of 14, swathed in purple velvet trimmed with white seal. And it goes on to describe Lord Sunglass and Salador Sun. And yeah, descriptions are notable for sure.
Some very stylish people here. Yes. That is one thing I have to admit, is that people in A Song of Ice and Fire versus Game of Thrones, they really just spectacularly, you read these descriptions and when you really focus in on them, like Stannis, for example, mm-hmm. even him, he dresses so extravagantly.
He does, yeah. And actually, if you read the descriptions of Littlefinger's clothes, they really, in the books, they really bowl me over because obviously in the...
He's got like a feather and stuff like that.
All these outrageous colors. He wears these like, I don't know, these colorful boots and, you know, in the show, of course, gorgeous costuming, but he wore mostly like gray and black. I mean, let's face it. He was not this like wearing purples and yellows and kind of crazy colors like he does in the book. So I really do enjoy imagining all that stuff. And
yeah, I will say that I forget if it's the, I think it's the 20 might be the 2017 calendar at this point, but one of the A Song of Ice and Fire calendars is this great piece of Pycelle and Varys and Littlefinger, and they're all kind of mean mugging the viewer, you know, but it actually shows Littlefinger for once kind of like how he's described in the hat and all.
Mm-hmm. He reminds me, I mean, the descriptions of him, very much like a little peacock. So,
yeah.
Which was probably my headcanon until the TV show kind of inserted itself. But, you know, that's all good. We're all doing our reread so that we can refresh our headcanons. So.
Yeah, it is true. It's good to do that. And it's interesting to note in which cases you had your headcanon replaced by something in the show and when, you know, you stuck to when it was particularly memorable, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of the time it is, of course, related to great acting or, you know, stuff like that. But anyways, how did y'all do? I think we had a good mix of sort of, there weren't too many really, really, really hard ones, but there weren't too many really, really easy ones. So be interesting to see how you fared. So thank you for joining us. And thank you, Shaya, for being here today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I learned some fun bits of trivia today.
There we go. And now, see, you will know the answers ahead of Aziz this time.
Yeah. I wish I hadn't. I really wish I hadn't told him I was recording this. Oh, no. I could have asked him all these bits of trivia.
You could have just totally, like, listened to this with him and just been, like, right in there with the answers. Like,
Yeah, I think he would have known by the when my voice came up.
I'm so sorry.
But, no, what I will do
I'll be okay.
is I'll ask him when I see him in person. I'll be like, so, you know, which ones do I think is the hardest? I don't know which one I think is the hardest. I guess the three decks one might be the
Fury
hardest.
Fury and the triple decks.
Yeah, yeah, that might be what I think is the hardest.
But see, that's kind of military. It's like he might
not
feel like maybe the heart-shaped face.
He's just going to know them all.
Curse you.
But no, thank you so much for having me on. It really was fun.
Yes. Well, thank you for being here. And do check out History of Westeros, Valerie Reedus. Weekly live streams are when?
We have them Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm. And you're usually doing like six or seven chapters?
Currently, we're doing six chapters. Mm-hmm. The schedule varies book to book. We're down to six chapters for A Clash of Kings, though.
Okay. All right. Well, check it out, everyone, or join their Facebook group, and you can follow along with some great discussion with like-minded folk there as well. Thank you again for joining us, everyone. Hope you had fun. We'll see you soon with a regular episode of Radio Westeros. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.